This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, The Difference a Gun Makes. You can find it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Has a doctor ever asked you whether you own a gun? My kid's pediatrician asks about this every time, but that's it. None of my other doctors has ever asked about it. Some physicians are calling on their colleagues to make these conversations more routine. They say asking about guns can save a life. Is the gun locked? Who has access to it? Are you depressed? But bringing up firearms in a doctor's office can be tricky, and whether physicians end up going there or not really depends on the circumstances. Alana Gordon talked to different kinds of doctors who are working through these conversations with their patients.
To start things off, I reached out to Sarah Noble. She's a psychiatrist at Einstein Health in North Philadelphia. A lot of people she sees are dealing with trauma. Recently, she had an experience with one of her patients where firearms came up.
I think she just came in and let me know, you know, Dr. Noble, I think I'm going to get a gun so that I can protect myself because I don't feel safe. You know, there's all sorts of dangerous people out there.
Sarah worried about whether a firearm would make the situation safer for this particular patient, who had experienced trauma and was feeling especially mistrustful of the risk of another violent act happening to her.
The statistics show that a gun is much more likely to be used against a woman than it would be to protect a woman, whether that's by someone in the home, an intimate partner, or whether it's by a perpetrator. So I pulled up the data to show her that.
You literally went on your computer?
Yeah, I went on my computer to pull up the data to show her so that she could see that. And once she saw it, she, you know, felt convinced that it actually wouldn't necessarily make her feel safer, but could actually be a dangerous thing to have in the house. And so we brainstormed a little bit about what might be something that could help her feel safe and talked about perhaps instead she could get a baseball bat because that way she could keep it by her bed. And so if she found that someone actually came into her house, she would have a weapon, but it was a much less dangerous weapon.
As a psychiatrist, Sarah has a close relationship with her patients. They talk about stuff, intimate stuff. But the conversations can be totally different for, say, geriatricians or emergency room docs. Rachel Dawkins is a pediatrician in St. Petersburg, Florida.
So I had a 4-year-old little girl who came in for a checkup late last week after she had gotten done with school and mom got off of work. And she was wearing little cowboy boots and a pink tutu dress and cute as could be. She was very talkative and adorable.
Rachel goes through a bunch of routine questions with the girl. Does she wear a seatbelt? Does she brush her teeth? And then she gets to this one.
And then I asked her what she would do if she saw a gun. And she gave a very surprising answer, which was,
I'd kill someone.
You know, I probably had a smirk on my face, which was contrasted to mom's open mouth, shocked look. She pretty much sat there dumbfounded. And then, you know, counseled the child about, no, we wouldn't touch the gun. We wouldn't hurt anybody with a gun. Of course you wouldn't do that. And the child said, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. She quickly recanted her first answer. I wasn't so much in shock because about half of the kids that age will say something like, I'd kill someone or I'd shoot it or, you know, pick up the gun. And I think it really goes to show that kids don't have the ability to tell real versus toy or real versus fake.
I don't know.
So I asked the mom if the guns were typically stored, you know, out of reach of the child, locked with the ammunition separately, and she said that they are, and typically that the guns are kept away from the child, but she had witnessed them cleaning the guns the week before. I think it was a good learning opportunity for both mom and kid. of course, there's uncomfortable conversations surrounding any topic that we bring up in the office, but especially with guns, sometimes parents can feel that they're being singled out because they're gun owners, but that's really not the case. Is we're just talking about gun safety and safe gun storage.
A lot of doctors can feel like they're on their own navigating these situations. Firearms never came up in medical training for Emmy Betts. She works in the ER in Denver, Colorado, and says, training aside, these can be challenging conversations.
But I think there's a lot of other barriers as well. You know, fear of alienating patients or offending them, not knowing what to do with the information and so forth.
Emmy thinks doctors need to do better at understanding guns and gun culture to better connect with and counsel patients. She says she doesn't own guns and for most of her life didn't know much about them.
I would say I'm a very proud Westerner, but didn't grow up in a household with guns. We spend a lot of time in the mountains, but mostly hiking and cross-country skiing, and I've never been hunting.
So Emmy wrote an editorial in the Journal of the American Medical Association, calling on doctors, including herself, to get more comfortable. Shortly after, Emmy got an unusual response from a guy who would take her efforts in a totally new direction.
I met Michael in August of 2015.
And I agree with Emmy that we met in August of 2015.
That is Michael Viktoroff, and he has a different relationship with guns.
I shoot competitive pistol and a high-power rifle. You know, I have a couple of AR-15s. I shoot shotgun like an amateur, just for fun, blowing up clays. That's fun.
Michael is a certified NRA firearms instructor. He gets annoyed with what he sees as a growing rift about firearms in our country, with conversations becoming hyper-political. But he's also a doctor, a family physician. So as he says, he's got his feet in these two worlds. Emmy's article resonated with him. And somewhat conveniently, he is based near her in Colorado. So Michael reaches out.
I guess I started maybe with an email. You know, I didn't want to be too brazen, right?
And he says, hey, I'm on board with what you wrote. But if you're serious about this, I have a proposal for you.
Look, I have this pistol class.
Take my class.
Well, I'll give you a certificate of completion at the end. We'll do through the whole thing, you know, the bona fide NRA no-kidding pistol class. But in addition, we're going to talk about how does this come across to you as a health professional.
I was excited, but really nervous.
So in the fall of that same year, Emmy and a small group of doctors met up one weekend at a community center to take his 8-hour class.
So the first goal is to set everyone in the room at complete ease, especially me, that no bullet is ever going to come out of a gun here. They're all empty. And then we can bring lots of guns, you know, many different sizes and shapes and types. And we can all.
I was very surprised at how many kinds of guns there are and like the differences. I think I just had never really thought about that angle, and that for some people it's sort of a hobby in that sense. The mechanics of it are kind of interesting.
And then after a few hours in the community center, they went to the range.
We're going to shoot some bullets. We're going to go to the gun range. We're going to put bullets into a gun. We're going to fire them. They're going to make holes in paper. And you're going to see what that feels like. Because actually that is emotionally and intellectually at the same time the whole point of crossing that chasm.
I did not like it. Like, it was really an uncomfortable experience.
Emmy worried something might go wrong, like that someone might accidentally shoot her.
And I realize that's irrational probably, but that was sort of in the back of my head, that it felt like an inherently sort of dangerous thing to do for fun. It's also sort of loud, and you have to wear earplugs and then headphones, and so it's like your senses feel sort of dulled.
Still, Emmy says she is really glad she went through it, the whole course.
I haven't changed probably my own views on whether I'll ever own a gun or not, but I think it really helped me understand, like, okay, I get why people go to the range for fun with their friends and enjoy target shooting or competitive shooting and so forth. It really helped me cross the bridge.
Emmy says she keeps her pistol certificate in a drawer in her office as a reminder. It's mixed in with some empty shell casings from that first trip to the range. So do you think more physicians should be trained in this sort of thing? Go through what you went through.
I do think that physicians and other healthcare providers need more training, at least the sort of classroom portion. I don't think they need the full 8-hour NRA course.
Emmy is trying to figure out what type of training and approach would be most effective so that doctors can get more comfortable bringing this topic up more routinely with patients. She's teamed up with Michael, and they've since held 3 more pistol classes for doctors and psychologists.
Day was exciting for me in that it brought together a bunch of different groups.
So they recently piloted a modified training for about 20 ER doctors in Colorado.
What I really hope comes from today is that the physicians who are here on their next shift talk to the patients who are at risk of firearm violence, that they don't feel as nervous about bringing up topics.
When she's not leading these trainings, Emmy is doing a lot of other research on firearms. She's now looking into how doctors handle this with patients who have dementia or some kind of cognitive impairment. Michael Viktoroff, the pistol instructor, who's also a family physician, is older and doesn't see patients anymore. But he still thinks a lot about the discussions he used to have and didn't have inside the exam room over the years.
I have to confess that I'm just learning, you know, now, this decade, about the conversations I should have been having with patients of mine years past who killed themselves. It's never the one you suspect. If I had been a little smarter 10 or 20 years ago when, you know, a 24-year-old woman I was working with who, by the way, did not seem the least bit depressed, but she had, you know, issues she was struggling with. I was working with her. Make a long story short, she killed herself. There's a statistic that a large number of people who end up killing themselves have visited their primary care doctor within a very short period of time, about a week, a month, before they do it.
These moments, he says, are vital opportunities to counsel patients to help keep them and their firearms safe.
I feel for sure I would be able to save a life or two that escaped me in the past.
That story was reported by Alana Gordon.